A study of Proverbs helps you gain wisdom and practice the art of skillful living. The Hebrew word translated wisdom is chokmah. Chokmah describes anybody who has a skill. Some people have political chokmah and know how to get elected. Others have business chokmah and know how to make money, or athletic chokmah and they can perform at the top of their sport. Still others possess medical chokmah and can heal a broken bone. It takes divine wisdom to raise a child in the fear of the Lord and to avoid the pitfalls of sexual immorality. Do you need financial chokmah or relationship chokmah? Proverbs is your place to learn and then practice the fine art of skillful living. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Hello and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm Brian Davis, always glad to have you with us. Go to any bookstore in America and you'll find thousands of books filled with maxims, axioms, and wise sayings, but not all proverbs are created equal. Today, Ron takes us to the preeminent source of wisdom, the Old Testament book of Proverbs, as he continues his series, Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life. Stay right here or visit somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen to Ron's messages on demand, on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now, from Proverbs chapter 1, here's Ron and part 2 of his Something Good Radio message, The Beginning of Knowledge.
Well, Proverbs is going to give you mental agility. That's the ability to think and draw conclusions with sharpness because you get God's perspective on something. There are a lot of people just chattering and twittering and throwing out all kinds of pithy little statements and wanting you to listen to them here and listen to them. Do you have the ability, do you have the mental agility to think and draw conclusions quickly and to understand the difference between earthly and even demonic wisdom and wisdom from above? You need that kind of mental agility in a world like we're living in today that is so saturated with empty chatter. As pithy as it might be. Thirdly, Proverbs will help us gain moral insight. Not just mental agility, but moral insight as well. I see the phrase in verses 1 to 6, to receive instruction in righteousness, justice, equity. Do you know at any given time what is right, what is just, and what is fair? I'll just tell you, that's in short supply today in our world. Even, sadly, in our justice system, what is right, what is just, what is fair. You need to get God's perspective on life in order to have the agility and the insight in a moment to say, this is the decision we need to make. You remember the time in the Old Testament when somebody brought to Solomon two mothers who were fighting over a single baby. They both said it belonged to them. And they both had their stories to tell, and Solomon, who had great wisdom, just sat there and listened. How do you make a decision? How do you decide? I mean, they didn't have DNA testing and all that back then, but Solomon did something that was really, really wise. He says, well, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to chop the child in half and give you half and the other half. He wasn't really going to do that. He just wanted to see the reaction of the two women here. And the real mother broke down in tears and said, no, you take the child. And Solomon said, okay, you get your child now. That's mental agility. That's the ability to dissect a situation with wisdom in a moment and make the right decision. Do you have the ability to do that? Saturate your heart and your mind with Proverbs. Read that chapter a day coupled with 5 chapters from Psalms, vertical, horizontal wisdom. You're going to get it. You're going to grow in this. Number 4, we gain from Proverbs the ability to grow up and become strong. street smart. Look at verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. The word simple here it means gullible. It means, someone who is naive. This is somebody who makes the same mistake over and over and over again. They pay the stupid tax over and over and over and over again. Wasn't it Judge Judy that says beauty fades, but stupid never goes away? And that's true of the fool in Proverbs. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, that kind of thing. The simple person is gullible. And, a sucker is born every minute. You ever heard that? Some people never grow out of that naivete and gullibleness. Proverbs helps that. It helps you become wise and discern the situations you're in. It's knowledge and discretion for the youth. How many of you have middle school, high school, or college age kids in your family right now, or that age yourself? Get them here to this series. Do whatever you can to get them within earshot of a study of the book of Proverbs, because this book was primarily written for the next generation. You as parents and grandparents need to be here so you know how to train the next generation, because that's what Solomon is doing. Over and over again in Proverbs 1-9, you hear things like, my son, listen to the counsel and the teaching of your mother and your father. He's training the next generation of kings in wisdom from above. And you have a responsibility, I have a responsibility as a parent, as a grandparent, to train up our kids in God's wisdom. If you are a middle school kid or a high school kid or a college kid, get your tail here for the next 10 weeks and sit here and drink in this study from the book of Proverbs. Read it for yourself, because it will give you knowledge and discretion and prudence even in your younger years. I've met some young people who have so taken to the word of God, they have, here's the phrase, wisdom beyond their years. Because we bought into the lie that a little bit of gray hair means you're wise. No, you may just be an old fool. Making the same mistake over and over and over and over again. Paying that stupid tax over and over and over again. I say to grow up and become street smart, not the kind of street smarts you're thinking about. I'm talking about streets of gold kind of smarts. Remember, this is wisdom from above. Streets of gold, wisdom from heaven. That's the kind of street smarts you need, and you'll find it in the book of Proverbs. Number 5, from the study of the book of Proverbs, you'll meet Jesus. You say, wait a minute, preacher, this is in the Old Testament. Jesus is in the New Testament. No, Jesus is in every book of the Bible, prophetically looking forward to his first advent, in the Gospels, his life, beyond the Gospels, prophetically looking to his second coming, his second advent. But we're going to meet Jesus because Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, listen to this, he says of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Contained in Jesus Christ is all the wisdom you need, all the knowledge you need, all the ability to make this decision or that decision. Contained in Jesus, hidden in him, are all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Hold your place here in Proverbs and turn just a couple of books over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. These verses aren't on the screen. This is extra. I toss this in free of charge this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. Listen to this. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Rhetorical questions these are, and the implication is nobody taught God. Nobody taught him any knowledge or gave him any counsel or any insight into anything. Contrary to what the open theists say. You know what open theism is, don't you? That's the idea that, well, the reason, you know, the world is the way it is because God is evolving and he's learning. He's learning. He's just as upset about things as we are, but he's growing and learning. That's called open theism. It's also called hogwash. Okay? Nobody ever taught God. Nobody ever gave him counsel. He never went to school. He never hired a tutor. He doesn't need that. He has perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom, perfect counsel every time for all of eternity. In Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Back during the colonial days when this country was founded, our educators understood this. Most of the universities and colleges were started by Christians and for Christian purposes. They used the Bible in their education because they understood that all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ. There is no education apart from the knowledge of God that isn't humanistic and even demonic. We got to put that category in there. But wisdom comes from above. And you'll never exhaust the knowledge and counsel and wisdom of God. You can't go to a library, even the Library of Congress, and find a library that contains all of the wisdom of God. Isaiah tells us in verse 28 that his understanding is unsearchable. There's not a search engine on the planet, Google or Bing or Internet Explorer or Safari. There's not a search engine or the combination of all the search engines that contain all the knowledge and all the wisdom and all the counsel and all the insight that God has. You'll never find a place that contains all of that. Paul said at the end of his instruction about the sovereignty of God in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, he says, oh, the depth of the wisdom, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Even the great apostle Paul, this great theological mind, could not exhaust the wisdom and the knowledge and the counsel of God. So why would you go to somebody else, some human, some friend, some fortune teller, some goofball out there before you ever go to God? Why would you ignore what he tells us and he gives us so graciously in his word? Why would you not saturate your heart and your mind with a reading of the book of Proverbs, let alone all the wisdom of Scripture, so that you're able to discern when you go to other so-called wise counsel the difference between humanistic thinking and philosophies and wisdom from above? You're going to meet Jesus in the Proverbs because in him are hidden all the treasures and all the wisdom and knowledge of God.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, so don't go away. Be sure to remember this web address, somethinggoodradio.org. That's the place to go to hear any of Ron's messages on demand. When you come see us, check out our digital library where you can search for answers to some of life's most challenging questions. Answers Ron has put together during his more than 30 years of teaching God's Word. You can also stream on demand, absolutely free. That's somethinggoodradio.org. So let me ask you, how passionate is your prayer life? Would you like to improve in that area? If so, you may want to contact us today and request your copy of Ron's full-length book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Join Ron as he guides you phrase by phrase through the power and beauty of the prayer that begins, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. That's The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 1-800-283-4456. Now let's get you back to Ron for the rest of today's Something Good radio message, The Beginning of Knowledge.
One last thought and then we're finished up. What is the secret to unlocking divine wisdom? Well, it's there in verse 7. It's the most important verse in the entire book of Proverbs. If you don't get this, you'll miss the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, let's say it together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Again, the early educators who were responsible for getting this country started understood this verse. The McGuffey Reader, you ever heard of that? It teaches the ABCs in relation to verses in the Bible that start with A, B, C, D. That's how they learned their ABCs back then and taught the Bible at the same time. Pretty wise to do that. But we live in a time where the fear of the Lord is missing. You say, well, Pastor, what's the fear of the Lord all about? Well, there's kind of two sides to the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's important for us to understand that we're not going to get anything from the book of Proverbs unless we possess this thing called the fear of the Lord. So two sides to this idea of the fear of the Lord. One is, you know, is to be afraid. You know, you fear something, you cower in his presence. There is a sense if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven through the cross of Christ and his glorious resurrection, then the Bible says it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You need to know that. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, he has not given us a spirit of fear and of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, the New Testament tells us. God doesn't want us walking around cowering in fear. That's not the believer in Jesus Christ. Now, the other side of fear, the other side of this two-sided coin, is that fear is awesome respect for who God is and what he says in this book. Awesome respect for it. My fear is that we've become a fearless nation. Let me start there. We became a fearless nation when we took down the Ten Commandments in our classrooms and we said, we don't need that stuff. Disrespecting God's word. And then we're sitting here a generation later scratching our heads wondering why our culture is spiraling out of control and nobody has the ability to discern what is right and just and fair. Nobody can figure out how to fix it because we've lost the fear of God, that awesome respect for what he says in his word. We've lost that in our country. And I pray that a revival would come to God's people and to our nation where we are once again a nation that fears God. But you may have lost the fear of the Lord in your own heart. Simple thing. Is this book collecting dust? If you're not in the Word of God regularly, then aren't you disrespecting what he says to you, this love letter that he wrote to you, this repository of wisdom? You could care less enough about it than to pick it up and at least read it every day, a portion of it. The fear, the awesome respect for who God is and what he says is the beginning of knowledge. He will open up the floodgates of knowledge and wisdom and insight and discernment and prudence, the ability to make the right decision, to say what is right and just and fair. And he'll open up the floodgates if you just move a little bit toward him and say, God, I have such respect for this book. I'm going to carve out a time in my day, every day, to read it. If the President of the United States wrote you a letter, you got it in the mail, would you read it? Or would you disrespect the office so much you just toss it in the trash or just, you know, I got that 6 months ago. I haven't picked it up for a while. It's the way a lot of us are with the Bible. And what I'm encouraging you to do in this series, your homework is very simple. Read a chapter of Proverbs a day. Try to add 5 Psalms to that. That's your assignment for the next 10 weeks. And doing so, you'll read through the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms a couple of times. And let's remember that the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But as Proverbs does so wonderfully, in a pithy little way, it turns it around the other way. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the question over these next 10 weeks is, are we going to be a church full of fools or wise people?
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, The Beginning of Knowledge. And I'm pleased to welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. Well, Ron, something has always intrigued me about the life of Solomon. Here is the wisest man who ever lived, other than Jesus Christ, and he ends up doing some very unwise things. Foreign entanglements with other governments, wives from other countries who brought their pagan beliefs with them and led Solomon astray. What can we take away from this dramatic irony, this contrast between Solomon's teaching and his own behavior later in life?
You're absolutely right, Brian. You know, it's ironic. It's also a great warning to all of us. Everyone, from a brand new believer in Jesus to a seasoned veteran of the faith, to the wisest man on earth, everyone is still human, still imperfect, still capable of making some big mistakes. But I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. Everything Solomon said in Proverbs is still true. In fact, his own misbehavior is part of the proof for that, because there were some rather sad consequences to his behavior, which is exactly what his own writing said would happen. And I think one of the practical lessons we can learn from this is that no matter what we've done ourselves, God's truth is still God's truth. And we have been called to train our children in that truth, even to hold one another accountable to it. In love, of course, but we're called to do it. This is another great irony. Imperfect people, as we are, with a mandate to share God's perfect truth with one another. Now, don't let your own past mistakes prevent you from sharing God's truth. Maybe you stole a couple of dollars from your own mom's purse. Well, tell your kids not to steal anyway. Maybe you had sex outside of marriage. Encourage your children and your friends to remain sexually pure. Maybe you broke into a swimming pool or egged a friend's car or drank too much alcohol or smoked marijuana. Whatever it is you did, however many times you did it, you're not disqualified from teaching your children the right way to live or from helping other people see the right way to live. That does not make you a hypocrite. That's a lie from the devil himself, who would like nothing better than to see complete and total anarchy and to paralyze you in some way from being the parent or the friend that God has called you to be. Now, make no mistake. Some of the people you confront may say, who are you to tell me not to have sex outside of marriage? You did it. You're just being a hypocrite. Well, again, no, you're just being a responsible parent or a responsible friend, someone who doesn't want to see another person make the same mistakes you did. God's truth is always God's truth. No amount of past mistakes should stop you from sharing His truth and His wisdom with others.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with a little wisdom of his own and some great final thoughts on today's message, The Beginning of Knowledge. Coming your way next time, Ron has more from the book of Proverbs in his message, Choosing Friends Wisely. Ron, tell us what's in store as we move ahead in the series.
Well, Brian, one of the fundamental truths of the Christian life is that no one was meant to live it alone. No one is even capable of living the Christian life successfully all by themselves. You need not only the Holy Spirit, but other people to help you along the way. In fact, you can't fulfill God's will for your life without the assistance of other people. God designed it that way. He hardwired us for partnership, for relationship, for connections. I'll begin a two-part message on how to choose the kind of friends and partners who will build you up in your faith, who will spur you on to good works, who will help you grow in Christ. And I think, Brian, we could all use a practical reminder about the relationships we forge. And I'll have more as I move ahead in my series from the book of Proverbs called Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life.
The message is called Choosing Friends Wisely, and it comes your way tomorrow. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.